We're here. Hello. Hi.
We're here.
Here we are.
Yes.
Hello.
Hi.
Full house today.
What? Konnichiwa, baby.
Konnichiwa. Hell yeah.
That's
welcome,
what
everyone.
Like the song.
Trimark, Twitch, happy hour. What's this? Who's in the corner? It's not Dev. It's not Danny. It's not Brandon. It's me. Finally, they let me have the reins, and I am so excited. Even though it spent five freaking hours this morning dealing with OBS for the first time ever. So, yeah. Welcome, everyone. Glad to see you all. I am Jake. I do stuff with Trimark. I got... Who do we got over there? Who are you, Bad Code?
Oh, I thought you were doing an intro.
I'm not getting
Bad Code.
I don't like it.
I do more self.
Yes, self-reporting.
I do everything development at Trimark.
Yes. Daryl, who are you?
He just said, I'm Daryl. I'm Daryl Baker, here for Deferred. I am a security consultant at Trimark, and I build dangerous things sometimes.
Sometimes. Sometimes C2 for good, right?
Yeah.
Sure.
The tool is a tool, Jake. I can't control the hands they're in.
We've got Investigator Chick. Who are you?
I don't know, some chick. No. I work for the University of Buffalo. Yeah. I do a little bit of a lot of different things. My primary focus is DFIR, but I wear a lot of hats, from awareness to investigations to policy stuff, a little bit of everything like you often see in higher ed.
And outreach to the blue side. Try to get them to understand a little bit of the red. I love that.
Yep, that's my spiel, right? Like, I even wrote a book about it.
Love it. My raccoon hands, a.k.a. InfoSec Sexy, a.k.a. Stacy D. Who are you?
All of the above. I am everyone's favorite trash panda, at least I hope. And I work as, also wearing many hats, I always describe my role, I'm a senior solutions engineer at a cybersecurity education company, which is just a fancy way of saying I'm a big nerd and a technical subject matter expert. Similarly, I also, I'm a policy wonk. I like GRC, cybersecurity leadership, OSINT, application security, security awareness in general. So those are all the things I like to dabble my raccoon hands in.
Awesome. Did you know that the washing thing with their hands is not really about washing? I learned that recently.
Yeah.
It's more about like,
it's not about washing,
feel
really
better.
It's just, it's usually like a food softening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wait, what are you talking about?
Raccoons will wash their food.
When raccoons like quote unquote wash their food.
Yeah. Yeah. Now you know.
And something new every day.
I never paid attention.
Where's the rainbow of the star?
Oh no, if I was a better OBS person, I would just have one go across right there, but I'm not, so I'm sorry.
The more you know.
I have a napkin. Hold on.
Last but not least, how do you pronounce that? Not ladder? I'm just going to say not ladder. Who are you?
Yeah, not ladder. Yeah, not ladder. Rob Dalton. I have to follow these fine individuals. Rob Dalton, mostly primary roles, security consultant, advisory role. Director of IT at one position. So, oh, there we go. That's what we started. That's what we're going to start today with, right? Nice.
That's fantastic. Awesome. So what we're going to talk about today is burnout. We had Stacy on, was it beginning of 2023? Was it really that long ago?
I think so. And here's the funny part. We didn't even really talk about burnout that much. And the episode was about burnout. And then we're like, next time we will.
Next time we will.
We were all so burnt out that we didn't even talk about it.
Yeah. I think we talked mostly about weightlifting, if I remember correctly.
We did. Yeah.
Awesome.
We talked a lot about weightlifting, and we talked about how I stabbed my hand.
I forgot.
Good times. Good times.
We could do the stabbing the hand again.
Let's skip that one for now.
Oh, geez. Let's clear it
up. Yeah, good. That's great. So, Stacy, why don't you start off with, and I hate to put the focus on you on this, but it is kind of your show at this point. how are you describing burnout?
Oh. So I describe burnout. There's a couple of different ways you could like discuss it. There's kind of a generalized one, and then there's one that is a bit more impactful if someone is neurodivergent, which is someone who has ADHD or autism. So both of them are valid. Both of them are still very impactful. But ultimately, what burnout is it's, an accumulation of different stressors from intersecting areas. It can be from job, life, home, health, all different kinds of things in general, to where the weight, it's like carrying a giant backpack that just keeps getting stuff stacked on it and stacked on it. And you're trying to march through murky, muddy, swampy water. And then all those things that are like, oh, quicksand is a thing. And then you realize it is real, except it's metaphorical. It's just you're sinking, you're just going deeper and deeper, and things become more difficult. Your physical health can decline, your mental health is definitely in decline whenever this is happening. And it can be typically because of a lot of demands that are from a workplace environment. That's a lot of what people are referring to when they refer to burnout. On the other side, I'd mentioned neurodivergence, and the reason that it is a little bit more impactful is because it's kind of an accelerator. Since people who are neurodivergent spend more time masking, everything's a little bit more intense, a little bit more overwhelming. It kind of hits a little harder. So I'm one of those people, and I can tell you, like, holy moly, it's really hard to dig yourself out of.
So
That's what I'll start off with.
that's love it. I mean, does anybody else have anything that they any disagreements or anything that they want to add into that definition? I know for me, when I'm starting the symptoms that I experience when I'm starting to feel burnt out is like, I hit the end of my day and usually I'm still ready to go and play with the kid and go do some fun things and I just want to sit like and not really do anything and nothing just makes me feel happy. So bad code. When you are running into the burnout feelings, what's hitting you? What are you starting to recognize?
So some of the things I start recognizing is like not seeing the end to whatever you're working on or what is it you're trying to get completed. It just feels like there's no end in sight. And that no matter how hard or how fast you go, that the goal that you're trying to get to just seems to be disappearing in front of you. That's what it feels like to me. Like I'm in a weird position where I work on projects for like almost a year long. Like it could be a whole year long of working on a project, and you just got to keep that motivation and the energy up. And it's just so hard sometimes. Like we're near the end of the next project I'm working on. Thank God, because oh boy, it has been a long one. And it just feels like you feel all the pressure because like you have this buildup of everything you're trying to build out. People are dependent on it. And I think it's self-imposing sometimes, right? Like you're imposing these milestones and goals and things that you don't necessarily like. Your boss is not telling you, hey, you need to get this done by this date, or where the expectation is blah, 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 X, Y, and Z. It's like you impose it on yourself because you want to do a good job and you want to be a good worker and all this other stuff. And that just adds to it. And you just feel the weight, and it just like she was saying, like the backpack just feels like it's getting heavier, and you're sinking down, and the gold is going further out. So some things I do is I would just take a day and just walk away from everything, just walk away from everything there is, go see a movie, go sit down and get like do something that I normally don't do. I do the opposite. Like if it's like, oh, I'm gonna go and go outside, play with the kids for a bunch of for the whole day in the pool and relax and not even look at a computer, look at my phone, none of that stuff. And just try to regain a balance. Like, hey, where am I really with the task? What is thriving for this? And have a conversation with your boss. Like, hey, this is where I'm at, this is what's going on, and can you reset some expectations of where I need to really be with this project? And luckily, I have a great boss. He's very, very, very open and easy to talk to. And he will just help reset where you need to be and kind of help you feel like, hey, if you're feeling this way, let's push the project out a little bit. Or take another side project, like bring something else in that is not what you focus on and just work on that for a little bit. And then go back and jump back into the other project afterwards. So those things tend to help me. But I'm a unique individual sometimes, I was told by my wife.
That
family,
is
Reese.
Yes. We've all seen you lawyers, before, Dev. Yes, judges. We're all aware. Judges. Rob, you have the most the biggest burnout recovery plan that I have, of anybody that I have ever heard of. Why don't you dig into where you were and where you're going?
Well, are you referring to me finding my life again?
Something like that, yeah.
Yes. I'm gonna find my, that's my journey. I'm going to find my life again.
That's right.
You know, I didn't really realize burnout was a thing. I stumbled upon Corey Ham from Black Hills. They did something on burnout a couple of years ago. And I felt like, oh, I'm not alone. You know, I'm the resource for infrastructure, switching, storage, what have you, at a, you know, small to medium business. And so, you know, one of their strategies was to break up your phones, right? Have your work phone, have your personal phone, but that's almost impossible when you're the resource. But, you know, I think, you know, to what we'd hit on earlier, a lot of this is self, for me, for sure, it's self-induced. And one resource that I had found recently was, I don't know if anyone else has stumbled upon, it was like Cal Newport. And he goes through kind of that different strategy or the different phases that we've gone through as far as manufacturing, you know, back in the 40s, you know, and so we as knowledge workers are trying to match that, right? We're trying to show our bosses and those around us how productive we are. And I'm definitely self-induced of that. So, you know, I always admired your, you know, recovering system administrator handle. I thought that was very fitting.
I think
I wanted to interject on something because we're having this, you know, whether it's like self or, you know, like individualistic versus like more systemic. And I do think it's a little bit of both because we're talking about, hey, we want to, you know, perform really well. We want to show people that we're valuable. We want to show that we can do these things. But I also think personally that it's systemic because just what you're describing, Rob, is like, you know, whenever you are the resource, whenever we have these jobs that are so demanding, and, you know, earlier before we got on, we were talking about how we wear so many hats. That's kind of the expectation. So I think that's true amongst a lot of people who work in like any sort of hacking role, you know, sysadmins, anyone who's in IT or even information security.
Yeah, I would agree. And I would dovetail and say that, you know, like, because of all the different hats I wear, and I there was a period of time in which I literally kept our office going because it was just me, because we had people leave and whatever. And on the one hand, you're like, I have to like not do this constantly or I'm gonna fry myself. And you're on the other hand, you're like, but I'm kind of the only person here, so how do I deal with that, right? And so societally, there are expectations that we will just do the thing, even if we are burned out. And a lot of, I'm very fortunate. I work for a university and we have a ton of time off, but at the same time, like, I'm not always comfortable taking the time off because I have to keep doing the thing. So, you know, it's both a societal expectation and a personal issue kind of collapsed into one.
Oh, I was just going to bounce off what you said about taking time off. Here's another indicator of, you know, that you're burnt out, right? If you go on vacation and you dread going, because whenever you get back, you're going to have even more work.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Sorry.
So one thing I was going to say about that is, one thing that I hate is unlimited PTO. I hate that. Because then how much PTO are you allowed to take, really? Like, this, don't tell me unlimited. Tell me the number. Like, what is acceptable?
Yeah.
And what's not acceptable?
Mute him, please.
I hate that. No, like, have you worked for a company that said unlimited PTO? And you're like, you're scared to take it because then it's like, wait, if I take too much, are they going to think I'm a slacker? If I take too little, am I just hurting myself? Like,
yeah, it's a negative feedback cycle because you feel guilty about it. And then that drives down your passion, drives down your motivation. Yeah, it just feeds itself.
And it's a way for the man to keep us down because they don't have to pay out on vacation hours if you leave.
There you go.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Daryl, are you currently in a burnout state? Or are you? I know you've been doing a schload of traveling recently.
Are we not allowed to take time?
Is our boss watching or not?
Wait, who is your boss? Who is your boss? I don't even know who his boss is.
I got tiers, Dev. I got tiers of bosses.
We don't have any bosses. We're a flat hierarchy. What are you talking about? No,
I wouldn't say I'm burnt out. I have definitely pushed myself to some limits. So I'm enduring some self-inflicted pain, but it's a lot of fun. And just like Dev said, I mean, our boss is super supportive. So he's been there like every step of the way, literally, physically, figuratively, like, you know, pretty much every place that I've traveled to, he's been there too. So it's hard to complain about being tired when, like, you know, the thing that we're feeding into gives us something back that's positive, as opposed to that feeling of, you know, what's tomorrow going to bring, you know, that dread that you were talking about. So no, I don't feel like I'm burnt out, but definitely looking forward to some time off. I got, you know, a good break in there. And even last month. So when I had all these back-to-back conferences that were coming up, you know, I went to Sean, told him what was going on, and him and Lauren, they completely readjusted my schedule. So, you know, like one of my assessments didn't even start till, you know, this month. So it's things like that, though, that I think prevent burnout. But like, not everybody's so fortunate to have, I guess, that support system, you know, built into your job.
I think you were lucky one question I wanted. That you were able to identify it in yourself, too, because a lot of people don't identify that is going to happen to them until, you know, they're 90% way through their planned whatever, their planned project, their planned schedule, and all of a sudden it's like, I don't want to do the thing anymore. Like, yeah.
I can tell you how I identified mine whenever it first happened. Yeah. Well, so this is already at an extreme. Here's another thing that's an identifying factor. I had shingles at one time. Hey.
Been there. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. That's not fun. It's like having burning daggers in your side and you get a bunch of, like, I don't know if anyone's familiar. It's like similar to chicken pox. So if you've had chicken pox before, which I did, or, you know, if you haven't had it, get it later in life, what have you, you can get shingles and it sucks. So, get the Shingrix vaccine. Highly recommend. That one too. So
did that on my birthday. The day I was eligible for it, I was like, don't ever want to go through that.
No, do not recommend. 0 out of 10, do not recommend. That was so painful. So painful. And I worked through it too.
I had a particularly, like, it wasn't a super bad case, but it still was enough that, like, half of the day, yeah, the side on my ribs just, yes, like, erupted in things. And, yeah, fiery pins. And I think, you know,
I have so many friends who had it before they were eligible for the vaccine. And that's why I said, like, on my birthday, I am doing this because I do not ever want to deal with that. And the current vaccine is so much better than the one they used to have. The one they used to have, I think, was only like, I don't know, 50 or 60% effective. And this one's like 90 something. So I was like, yep. I want that now. And I want to be done with this. And I didn't have chicken pox that I remembered. And in fact, I was tested to get that vaccine and they found I already had the antibodies. So I don't know. My dad had like 3 on his wrist. So I must have inherited that because we have no recollection of me ever going through it. But that means I still had the ability to get that. And ugh, no, thank you.
Yeah, I had chicken pox twice. So they say I definitely have to get the shot.
Twice?
Yeah.
Wild, huh? So
I was the child of parents who did a chicken pox party. So,
Dev, you've
around
been
the time when that vaccine came out.
What do you got?
So one thing I was wondering, one time I experienced really burnout, really bad, was when I actually. So I was at another company when I got promoted, and I was in management status and went to C status, and I felt that was the biggest time I got the biggest burnout. And it wasn't because of the workload. I think it was, I took a path down a career I did not like, which was management. And I wonder, has anyone ever experienced that where you're going down like the wrong career path which leads to this you being completely miserable, completely overwhelmed, and just hated going to work every single day of your life. Like,
yes, I've worked in feel... retail.
But I wanted
to say I did help desk.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I feel like that was the worst case I ever had in my life. And that's when I realized I had to take a step back and go, I need to change my life. Because it was just, I don't mind working with people and leading them. I do not want to manage people ever in my life. I just, there's something about it I don't like. I was told I'm not the most sensitive person in the world. And just trying to be that sensitive, like supportive, like kind of role in that way, this is not my thing. And I don't know. I felt so overwhelmed in that. And maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just being.
That got acquired by a much larger company. And so my role shifted and twisted and did all kinds of stuff. But, you know, they threw money at everything. I mean, that was the solution to everything. Like, hey, we'll pay you more. We'll give you stock. We'll give you, all this extra stuff. But man, I was miserable. And like, I had to just like do a reset because I was asking myself, like, do I even like technology? Do I like, it was bad. It was really, really bad.
Do I like people? Is that what it is? I don't like people. Like, what is it? What's going on here?
And I think that's part of the challenge for me.
Anyway. It's a whole different skill set.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if you think it would be one that would be simpler, right? Like, because it's just...
Ooh, no.
I said you would think. I didn't say it is.
Yeah.
I said
you would think. A lot of training.
Like looking from the outside in, it feels like it's easier, right? Like when you're looking from the outside, and then when you get in there, it's just like, holy crap, what that is stepping into. And I don't know. I learned that lesson the hard way.
Rob, what were you going to say?
I think maybe it depends. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say one of my challenges is that I think I'm also addicted to, say, cyber or even in tech, so I have to fight that off as well. So like, where does that addiction lead me? Right.
Not to management, but people will pull you into it.
Yeah.
You know,
are you talking about like relatives? Like, hey, this is not working for me. Can you help me fix this kind of stuff? Cause I veto that fast.
No. I mean, just, let's say you have an interest in digital forensics. Like a hobby? Right. Okay. So, or instant response, but you want to know more and more and more and more. Like some point you just have to stop. Or I had to just stop and I had to go, okay, I have to have, what do I want to focus on? Because there's just such a vast knowledge out there that I'll never be able to achieve in my lifetime, but I want to, and I want to know more and,
Yeah. So are you becoming an expert in one area versus just being like a breath in all areas?
So Rob, yeah. are you saying like that feeling of there's so much knowledge out there and I can't get there ever is kind of feeds your
brain? I think I understand.
Yeah. It's similar to what Dev said about not seeing the end of the project, right?
Like, yeah, that's right. Right. Yeah. You're swimming as hard as you can towards land, but you're going farther backwards,
But it's wanting to like drink the whole ocean too, right?
Exactly. Like,
that's how I feel. Yeah. I know what you mean.
That's why they say ignorance is bliss.
They do, yeah.
This explains so much about you, Dev.
Well, I mean, there was a study about it. They did a study where, because of your ignorance, you don't realize how tall the glass is and how full it is, right? Once you start stepping in and getting deeper, you realize just how deep that water goes. And that becomes overwhelming really fast.
Yeah, it's the Dunning-Kruger effect.
Yes.
Like walking into a dunk tank, it sounds like.
For sure. So what are...
Maybe being 1,000 dunk tanks.
Are there any specific things that folks that have gone through some burnout issues multiple times, like you recognize in yourself that you're like, oh shit, I need to start worrying about this now? Or is it always letting yourself go too far and realizing it after the fact?
That's a question.
When it stops being fun. I love tech. Anything engineering, like just how stuff in general works. Yep. When I stop caring, that's when I know there's a problem.
All right. For me, it's normally when I wake up and be like, I don't want to, I just want to go back to bed. I don't want to continue the rest of the day.
Fair. Kathy?
Yeah, and I'm sort of in the middle where, like, you know, I'll find that suddenly, and I'm not somebody who watches a ton of television, right? I watch some and I've got some shows I follow, but like, what I will find is I come home from work, I have dinner, watch the news or whatever, and then I have no desire to get back in front of the computer. I just want to, like, I'll poke on my phone a little, but nope, I'll watch all the sitcoms and all the bad crap on television just so I don't have to get back up and go back to the computer. And when that pattern starts, I'm like, ooh, I need to take a step back a little.
Stacey? There are different phases, too, like that have been recognized and acknowledged. So we're all kind of talking through them in different ways. Like the first one, it's almost like a relationship. There's a honeymoon phase, right? So you have this phase where you're really enamored with the thing. And then there's kind of an onset of stress once that starts to kind of taper out a little bit, right? You find yourself being a little bit more like mentally or physically strained. You might start to lose focus easier. And then it becomes chronic. You have, again, we talked about the backpack, where it's like, all right, now my shoulders are hurting all the time from this backpack. You reach a point where it's just consistent, persistent. You might start to socially withdraw, hang out with people less. You might, you know, just eat and watch TV and go to sleep. And then there's the actual burnout where you feel really consumed by it. You feel like we talked about earlier, you know, I don't want to go to work. You get the Sunday scaries. You might be actually getting like chronic migraines, stomach issues. That's when that kind of thing happens. And then if you can't get out of that cycle, it's almost like an SDLC sort of cycle where you just keep looping back and like having continuous stages of burnout. And so for me, you know, I also do art. And whenever I feel like a wizard that's lost their magic, that's when I really know, because it's like, oh, I haven't drawn anything in a long time. That's usually indicative of like, well, I haven't engaged in hobbies or not playing as many video games. I'm just kind of like, I don't know, slothing around, I guess.
It's funny that you say that about video games, because for me, that is an indicator that I am starting to go into burnout, is when I am playing more video games. Like, I don't generally do that. And like,
mine can go back and forth.
Okay.
It's, if I obsessively play video games, which I am like known to do, that's when I know. Like if I play a game for like 8 hours straight or 10 hours straight and I keep doing that, that's when I know. Whenever it's like a little bit less and I'm just doing it infrequently or not at all, it's like also that's not good because I'm keeping myself from engaging with something that takes like thought. So like TV is much more passive.
Sure. Rob, what are your things that you notice in yourself when you are headed down the wrong way?
Well, I mean, probably when I don't know what to say. No, you know, I think it's probably when I start feeling the pulse in my neck, you know, like, okay, enough. You need to back away from this. But, you know, you stumbled upon something, Stacey. Like I recently saw like a paint by numbers thing. It came up on one of my social media feeds, right? I'm like, that could be cool. You know, just to completely go, not brainless, but brainless and just do something creative that's not related to anything tech, not a screen. And that really attracted me. So I may try to achieve something like that.
Gotcha.
So they make dragon ones.
Ooh.
You could do like one like a Trimark logo almost.
Oh, there you go.
That's what we need to do for some new swag, is a paint by numbers dragon logo.
Yeah.
Love it. That'd be awesome. So Rob, you're starting to talk about things that bring you out of it. Like what, for me, I realized at the end of last month that I was like really kind of starting to really get into the burnout zone. And like, I started to force myself to go work out in the mornings. Like I used to do it all the time. And I am now, it's been nine weekdays in a row that I've worked out in the morning. And nice. Like, I'm starting to feel those, you know, the good chemicals coming back into my body and like not waking up and stressing about getting out into my garage first thing first, as opposed to waking up and getting on the phone and staring at the distraction rectangle until it's time to log into the big rectangle, right? So, what are your things that you do to help you kind of recover?
So it kind of depends on where the burnout's coming from, right? Like we were talking about earlier, where it can be coming from all these different directions. So I do find that if it's a lot of tech and it's just too much and it's just all the work things, that actually watching television and just being like, nope, it is okay. And that's the other piece, right? You have to tell yourself it is okay to not do anything for a while. And I have a really, really hard time with that because I'm a very focused person. So I'm like, nope, I don't, no, you don't need to clean the thing. No, you don't have to go do something else. You can just, it's allowed. You can just sit there and do nothing and watch television for a while. The part of it is, if I'm in that space, I may just have to tell myself, no, just do nothing. Or I have hobbies that have literally nothing to do with technology, to the point where I'm looking at time periods where there was no real technology of this kind. And so sometimes I'll fall down those rabbit holes because they pull me completely away from the tech stuff. And sometimes it's going and hanging out with those folks and just getting away from all of it.
Are we talking Ren
But
Faire right now? Is that what you're talking about?
well, so sometimes, so
Okay, I thought
it's
so.
my weird interest in death and the dead,
Okay, yep.
which has come up a couple times. So in some cases, it's doing actual research on dead folks and death culture stuff. And I mean, some of that does involve computing because I'm doing research, but I'm not thinking about technical stuff. I'm just
It's different,
doing
yeah.
queries and looking at old newspaper clippings, because let me tell you, man, the stuff we see in social media today, that was in newspapers. Like, the late 1800s, early 1900 newspapers were hysterical, and they had the exact same crap we see on social media today. Like, so and so went to visit thus and such for their wedding anniversary, and you're just like, why does anyone care about this? But it does give you a good laugh. So some of it is doing that. Some of it is, I am a part of a living history group, which isn't really a Ren Faire, but same idea. I'll go to an event or whatever, and I sometimes I teach about that, so I'll do research for a class or whatever. But it's and I find that I burn out in the various spaces. So I spend t too much time in one of those spaces. I'm like, ugh, I need to get back to tech, right? Like, the dead things are great, but now I need to go back to tech. So it really is cyclical. And like, I did two really big presentations on dead things last year, and they wanted me to do one this year, and I just, like, the thought of looking at that research is like, nah, this particular stuff, I'm like, I just, nope. So I need to go do something else. So those are really the kinds of things. I mean, exercise is something I need to get back to as well. Now that I've had my travel, like, Daryl, I sympathize with you. My travel this month has been absolutely batshit. So I'm glad to not be going anywhere for a while, at least nowhere that isn't drivable.
Nice. Speaking of Daryl,
That's
what
what
are
I
your
do.
I was gonna say, what are your I know you play music. Is that one of your getaway things, one of your recovery things?
You're talking to me?
Yeah, you're Daryl. Hi.
I didn't hear you. You cut out right when you said the name, so
Oh.
I assume it was me. So I'll play music with my son more than with myself. So that's always a good escape. Like I'm picking him up today, so I'm looking forward to doing that. That'll be good. I shoot pool, I bowl, I do a lot of sleight of hand with cards and stuff. I have a deck of cards in my hand right now.
Oh, cool.
They're my fidget spinners. So like I do a lot of analog stuff that, oh, the power's out. Doesn't really affect me. Let's light some candles and keep on going.
Nice. Dev, I assume your recovery is I don't know. What are you doing? What are you doing to recover?
Drinking a lot of alcohol. No, stop.
Don't think
normally
that's
mine is it depends. Like so if it's that whole working on a year project thing is where I would just switch it up. Work on something for like a week. Give myself see my development my background development came from prototyping, right? I'm a research and developer by nature. I did a lot of prototyping. So I was always constant to work on something for like a couple of weeks, change up, work on something completely different. and just keep iterating through different things all the time. So focusing on a project that could last a couple of years is not my strongest suit, and why I feel I'm more prone to burnout that way. So knowing that is, I guess, the most important thing, right? Knowing what is causing the burnout and how to identify it soon. So when I feel that way, I change up the project. I work on something still, you know, TriMark related and within the scope of what we need to get completed, but from a different perspective or different angle, a different part of the project that's not close to what I was working on before. Or sometimes I'll just take a step back and do some research on something else that's not related to the project at all. You know, still trying to make it work related and work based, so that way I'm not kind of like slacking off in anything, but just trying to change it up, trying to change what's going on, where my mental focus are, what is it I'm looking at constantly, so I don't get that blind, what they call that again? I keep forgetting. But tunnel vision kind of thing, and not, you know, having the same thing loop over and over again, like Groundhog Day. So that's really what I do. Just change up things. And when it gets really bad, I just call in a mental health day and just go and do something completely crazy, like travel somewhere.
I was just going to say, is travel a thing? Like, for me, I mean, the guys that I work with here know, like, I have 3 vacations a year that I take, and when I take them, I am not accessible. Like, boom, yeah. I am gone.
When I travel, yeah. I do not, like, I don't use my phone. I will take my phone and my laptop just in case something like really bad happens, but other than that, I do not open it up or anything. And I even wipe my phone before I go down there, so that way I have nothing on my phone. Well, I do that for security reasons, but I wipe my phone anyway. So when I get down there, I have nothing to look at, emails, nothing is set up. The only thing I can do is receive calls and text messages.
Yeah,
that's it. So
when I went to really limits me. On vacation in June, like, I uninstalled all the apps along with, and did not take a laptop at all. It was literally just a phone and just for, you know, the bare minimum purposes. So what about, I know Daryl, you're always all over the place. I love
that. Yeah, this is a rare point that I'm home right now. So, yeah. You know, that's yeah. Cool.
Stacey, are you a traveler?
Sometimes I feel like, for me, because we kind of talked about like traveling for work, I have a rule at my work, so this is kind of in the realm of boundaries, right? Because my work has a lot of events, so there are some other compounding reasons why I don't like to travel, related to health and some other things. And I like to set boundaries. So whenever I do talk about traveling, even for work or, you know, or vacation, whatever it might be, I tend to like to go to places. Unless I'm planning a big trip, right, that I can drive to, because I like to be able to have that accessibility, have my own vehicle. Now, if I'm going to Japan, you better believe I'm be taking off like 3 or 4 weeks or something like that. But I digress. One of the ways that I tend to like feel like I combat burnout better, especially with work-related things, like if we're talking about that microcosm,
sure,
is I've set a lot of boundaries on when I can take calls, how many I can take in a day. And then today, Friday, I call these my project days, where I can do things like this, or I will literally work on projects all day, have no calls. Because for the type of work that I do, it's, Dev, I know you were saying you work on really big projects and or long projects. I am similar. I have a lot of little ones, but I also have a lot of big ones. So I have to give myself time to do that, because then everything else feels like 1,000 paper cuts, right? And that's too much to deal with whenever you constantly have this big project monster bubble growing bigger and bigger looming over your head.
Yeah, the thing that actually struggles with big projects, though, is that big projects are great if you have a big team that's working on it and that you collaborate constantly on, right?
It's a small team usually in my case, well, yeah.
Usually just me. So yeah, it's just me.
I was going to say, I'm the worker, but we have other people that help manage it and do other things. But yeah, yeah, I'm with you. It's usually me doing the bulk of the actual like work or technical work, and then other people like helping to manage like expectations and other things, yeah, that I'm like, yeah, you all are better at that. Please do that. I'll do this.
Yeah, like you lift up your head and you're like, oh, wait, the company's changed a little bit. What's going on here?
Oh, yeah.
What's going on?
And isn't that where it starts too? Is the lack of really holding to your boundaries or having any boundaries established? I mean, yeah.
That's
for sure.
And then you,
yeah, I was gonna say boundaries tends to be where it stays.
Boundaries and consent, two important things.
Yeah,
accurate.
We touched on it earlier too. A lot of places don't want you to have boundaries, right? A lot of places will try to keep, I think, pushing the envelope. And that's indicative of a lot of tech roles. And I think it's up to a lot of us collectively, you know, we talk about the individual versus systemic, to set those boundaries and set those expectations, because I still feel like largely they are more leaning in the direction of, oh, well, we should just have people do what we say at any given time. They should be thankful that they have this. Of course, not everywhere, but I do see that sentiment kind of echoed a lot. And I've even had like previous managers say things like that of like, oh, no, you should be always on your phone. You should always be responding to things. But I'm a person, like we've been talking about, I don't have any of the applications on my phone.
Yep.
I don't bring my computer with me at all to like wherever I go for PTO. It's just, if I'm gone, I'm gone. Later.
I knew the approach to boundaries was different. With Trimark, because I had my interview where I got, you know, I got hired, and then 2 weeks later, like I took 6 weeks before I actually started with Trimark. And in that time, Sean took a 17-day vacation and apparently didn't answer a single email or text the entire time. And I was like, okay, yeah, I see where this is. And it's been like that ever since. Like, I mean, Jared has threatened to turn off my account a couple times because I like logged into Teams on a day off. Like, yeah, it's important to maintain those boundaries. So
my first report, I sent my report out on a Sunday, like a Sunday evening or something. Uh-huh. Oh no, man, 7 a.m. like Monday, Lauren was like, we don't do that here.
You got your hand slapped. It's like,
yeah. But I mean, going back to what you're saying about these companies and expectations, I mean, it is something that's grown, I think, got worse over time. I mean, it started with Google.
Yeah.
I think Google's one who really started. Google and Facebook kind of started this whole, live on campus and work 24/7. And we have these pods and all these other stuff. The kids keep you here constantly and eat here for free and all this other stuff. Mm. And I think it has started bubbling into other companies and other places where they expect you to be online, ready to go at a moment's notice, when it's like, no, bro, I work from 9 to 5. What are you talking about? Like, what do we mean 24/7? Wait, are you copying me 24/7 pay? Is that how that works?
Yeah. That's, so, you know, I sometimes get crap for being in higher ed because I don't make anywhere near the money that I would make elsewhere. But I will say that, you know, in so much as I keep an eye on things when I'm traveling, because I just kind of can't not, you know, there's really very little in my universe that is urgent, like truly urgent. We don't save lives. And when I am saving lives, it's with the fire department. It has nothing to do with this. So, you know, if I want to be stressed out about that, I just spend more time at the fire hall. But, you know, I can do more or less a 9-to-5 job, which in DFIR is really unusual. Like, that most people that do that are in that space. They're often consultants. They're running constantly. They're, you know, they're getting out burned out way more often. And, you know, my boss is so funny. Like, I was still at Tech on Wednesday. In fact, my talk was Wednesday afternoon, and some stuff started to explode right around lunch. And so I worked like pretty much all that whole afternoon until I had to go give my talk to just clean it up. And I said something to my boss when I filled out my timesheet, and he's like, make sure you take the time back, that, because I had to take vacation for the time that I was at Tech, which I normally don't do, but because they paid for everything, it would have been double dipping, blah, blah, blah. So he's like, you just make sure you get that time back for yourself. Because he feels very strongly about, you know, he appreciates the fact that I'm on it when I need to be on it, but I have tons of flexibility to not be on it more often than not. And if I worked for a major company, no way. That, I mean, just all the friends I have that are in that space, they, you know, oh my God, they have horror, so many horror stories, you know, whether you're talking about folks like, you know, Litmus or Hacks for Pancakes, you know, that is a very, very tough space to be in as a consultant. So I'm really glad I'm not there. That's, I think, what's kept me able to put up better boundaries, even though, you know, should I have more boundaries sometimes? Yes, I probably should. But I also know that, you know, there are some things that I recognize that if I don't take care of now, it will be a 10 times larger. I can spend 5 minutes and deal with it, or I can spend 3 hours dealing with it when I'm back. So, you know, it's triage, right? I have to like triage. Is this the kind of thing that I can just deal with when I'm back? And so I keep an eye on stuff, but I guess that's part of how I prevent burnout to a certain degree is that I try to triage the stuff I do see come in. So I keep one eye open and go, yeah, okay, no, nah, don't need to worry about that. Don't need to worry about that. Uh-oh, this I really should handle right now. And fortunately, those are less common than more common. So
great.
So burnout's like shingles then.
Yes.
You know what? I never really thought about it. That is pretty.
But shingles, after you have an end, right? There's an end to shingles. I don't know.
We have to remedy the shingles, right? And we have to get rid of the shingles. So,
gotcha. What is the Shingrex of burnout?
Yeah. Well, that's
you know.
No, that's Stacey's going to tell us what the answer
it's
is. There.
Not having an SLA. That's what the Shingrex is.
Yeah, I love it. All right, y'all, we are coming up to the top of the hour soon. Let's talk about our wins for the week, and let's see who wants to volunteer. Anybody got a good win they want to go off on? Go for it.
Okay, that was me trying to raise my hand. So earlier I talked about, I did a talk about communication. So I had a talk about talking, and I went into like a lot of the psychology behind communication, how it's layered. And I created a new model to describe communication that's based on the OSI model. And then I used like all of the organic components and kind of built it around that. Because one of the big takeaways from this was, when it comes to the industry that we work in, I, you know, joked about it earlier too, is that we have a lot of technical people who end up in managerial positions who frankly either don't want to be there, or maybe they're not well equipped to be there. You know, so it's a matter of, hey, this stuff can be a skill that is trained. And I called communication and, you know, kind of general soft skills, technical skills. And it was kind of a persuasive paper, if you will, of, hey, I'm going to convince you that this is more technical than you think, because, you know, I won't get too much into it, but it was very successful, the talk. I had a full room, people were standing, a lot of people clapped, and then like nice. I also dressed like a cat, which probably isn't a surprise, but I had people coming up to me like the rest of the conference after being like, oh my gosh, it was so good, and that felt really cool. So
that's
post,
awesome.
Yeah, the post
yeah, that's really good.
High is great. I love that feeling.
It is. I'm still pretty high off of that, or something else, who knows. It feels like it's probably that.
Either that or the mushrooms, something.
Yeah.
Either or. Dev, what's your win this week?
I don't have a win. I got a
you
loss.
Got another
again.
Loss. Again. All right.
No. So I've been dealing with. I refuse to accept this.
Sorry.
There's got to be one.
Reframe it as a
there's
win. Can you reframe it?
So I'm being looking for a new ISP very soon.
So you learned a lesson. That's a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Like when they say they're going to show up during a certain time, and you sit there and wait, and they never show up, never call, but you get a text message saying they're on their way, and nothing ever happens, and you're like, what happened here? So you say you're coming out to fix my problem. Nope. Psych. And it's, yeah, it's Spectrum. They suck.
Yes, they say? Do. Spectrum is the reason why we still have DSL. So I feel that pain.
Yeah, they said they're going to show up because they're overloading my modem and frying it because they send it to, I have a signal that reboots it every couple of minutes. I'm surprised my internet didn't go out during this call. I mean, during this stream.
Hmm.
My internet drops literally 10 to 15 times a day. Oof. For like 5 minutes.
Terrible.
Yeah.
Well, that's that. My win of the week is that I didn't have to deal with that. Kathy win. What's your win for the week?
Yeah.
Kathy, what you got?
Oh, so my win for the week was definitely a Dallas Hackers Association. And, you know, like it never even occurred to me. And they were just like, I messaged saying I was going to be there that night, and they wrote back and they were like, oh, you're going to do a fire talk? And I'm like, yeah, okay. So, you know, I pulled a topic out, and you know, it was really well received, and I had people come up to me afterwards, and lots of interaction and people being, you know, crazy impressed, which I still don't quite understand, but I have a very similar high from that experience. I mean, the talk I gave at the other conference went really well too, and for it being the last talk of the entire conference, and there was actually still a decent amount of people there, that was pretty cool. But DHA and you know, just their warm welcome and response to me was freaking awesome.
Fantastic. Daryl, what's your win?
I got past a really frustrating level on Baba Is You. I've been working on that one for about a week and a half. No cheating, and I finally got past it, so that was cool. That was cool. If anybody hasn't played that game, I highly suggest it.
I don't even know what that game is.
I was just looking it up.
Yeah,
it's got a 10 out of 10 on Steam.
Dude, it's one of the best games ever. Like, Baba Is You is fantastic. Very wow. easy to okay. play, but it's all logic. It's all logic.
All right. Cool. I started playing Echoes of Wisdom, the new Zelda game this week, and that's pretty tons of logic as well.
Nice.
Rob?
Oh,
Rob?
Never mind.
Go ahead. We'll let Rob talk, then you can talk, Dev.
My win, I was drawing a blank, but I think my win is being here amongst my fellow peers here. I mean, I have mentioned to Jake in the past, you know, like there's a huge difference to me, I don't know, between the IT industry and cyber. And, you know, 3 or 4 years ago, once I was brought into that, you know, it's just this community. So I've never had the genuine relationships that I've had, that I've built through, you know, whether it's conferences, online, definitely a peak over the last 3 or 4 years. So that's probably my win. And I'm looking forward to Wild West next week. So meet some more people.
I'll have to get a beer. I'll see with, you there. Daryl. Yeah.
Excellent. Excellent.
Have a beer with everybody. So, you know.
Actually, I did find a win.
Oh, you found a win? All right, let's hear it.
So for the longest time, I wanted audio in my whole house to be synchronized and in my office to be completely desynchronized, right? I don't want to hear the stuff that they listen to and, you know, from what I listen to. So I found a system that works perfectly for it. I'm not going to say the name yet because I still want to evaluate it some more. I'm doing some, we can't make sure that the data is not leaving the network and all that fun stuff because I'm a big IoT investigate your IoT before you just bring it online kind of person. So I found that, and I actually got my music system working with my Stream Deck and everything, so I can control the whole thing and play what I want to, how I want to, and through what audio source, which definitely helped me with my burnout. So
nice.
Love it. That's awesome.
Yeah. Music can make a difference, people. So that change up your music. It helps.
When I am not feeling well, I don't listen to any music. And that's, yeah. I had never put that two and two together. So awesome. Well, thank you all for coming out. Let's get out of here. All right. TriMarkSecurity.com for services. Get your Active Directory and Entra ID stuff. Hub.TriMarkSecurity.com.
Yeah, that's that thing.
For blogs and white papers and presentations and blah, blah, blah. And then check out our GitHub at GitHub.com/TriMark, where we've got a bunch of free tools up there to help you secure your shit. So, here we go.